My name is Valerie Payne, and this is the podcast Binding Unity. I started this podcast because of a personal experience that helped me to see the need for unity in our society right now. I hope that you will come along with me on my quest to find unity as we seek understanding, connection, healing, and love. Hi, this is Valerie Payne, and you're listening to another episode of Finding Unity. And today I have Carolyn Carter with me. Carolyn, do you want to say hi really quick?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We are going to be talking about something that I'm super excited about, and I don't think I would have been as excited about it without Carolyn. So I'm really glad you're here, Carolyn, to talk about it. But first of all, before we dive in, do you want to just give a little bit of background about yourself, where you grow up, what you do professionally?
I grew up in Boise, Idaho. Love Boise. It will always be home to me. It was farmlands and cows when I lived there. It's grown a lot since, but it is just precious. They have the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets, and I will always call Boise home. I've had a rather eclectic career path. I've done a little bit of everything. I've spent time as a photographer. I've taught university writing classes. I am currently the director of an art gallery in Provo. And most recently, I've started a little side project about family history and travel, kind of designing private trips for people to take to the lands of their ancestors.
Do you want to talk to us more about your agency on the side?
It's called Kindred Lands, and the impetus behind it was helping bridge the gap between a desire to do family history and having no idea where to start. I wanted to give people an easy way to begin learning about the culture, the heritage, the traditions of their ancestry, as well as opportunities to travel to those places where their ancestors are from. In my own experience, there is nothing like walking the paths that your ancestors walked. It is a very special, unique experience. And so designing tours for other people to visit their homelands, to see the homes, even if they're still standing, the homes where their ancestors lived, to go to the churches where they were married or buried, is just, it's absolutely a dream.
That's awesome. So we are going to be talking a little bit about our family ancestry and genealogy and kind of why that's important. And I brought Carolyn in to talk about it specifically because I feel like she's a guru. I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel like you're that way. So let's just kind of dive in to what led you into this interest with family history.
So many different experiences. I love that right from the outset, you called it ancestry rather than family history. I think that most of my life, I had this very specific idea of what family history meant, and it wasn't particularly engaging or exciting to me. And so over the years, after having different experiences, it has really shifted my paradigm of what ancestry, family history can look like on a personal level. It all kind of started for me one Christmas. My brother and I got together, and come to find out, simultaneously, we'd both been reading Norse mythologies and had just kind of become totally engulfed in the stories of Norway. And so I started digging and found that a whole bunch of my ancestry, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, was Norwegian, just this little thread of Norwegian ancestry. And so my brother and I thought, oh, this would be so cool to go back to Norway, to the land of our ancestors, and see what we can learn. So we planned this trip to Europe, and we made a couple stops. We were in Switzerland for 2 days, two very fast days, where we, you know, hiked a bit in this valley, and then we drove through the farmlands, and then we were off to Norway. Before we had left, my coworker had said, when you go to the land of your ancestors, you will feel like you are going home. So we're flying to Norway, and I'm expecting to have this transcendent experience where I get off the plane and I feel like I have arrived at the land of my ancestors and they are here to welcome me, and, you know, just all those kind of romanticized ideas. And we get to Norway and I feel nothing. And we're there for a week and I'm like in the fjords and I'm like, you know, seeing all the parts, eating the food, just totally absorbing the culture. And I have no magical feeling of finding home. But meanwhile, the whole time I had this quiet longing in my heart for Switzerland, for this little farmland village that we had just driven through. And I don't really have a good way to describe the feeling other than I felt the echoes of the mountains around me. I felt like I could feel the Swiss mountains around me, and I just longed to be back there. And on the flight home, I thought, well, I wonder if we have a couple Swiss ancestors. So I got on Family Search and started poking around. Come to find out, my great-grandmother was 100% Swiss, both sides. I had no idea. And her family, for generations and generations, had all lived in these little villages that my brother and I had spent one day driving through. And that the whole time I was in Norway, I was missing. And I think that was the first time for me when I realized that there can be a real connection that you feel in your heart towards your ancestors and towards the places you come from, as well as the people who got you here. It started me on a path of my own curiosity about Switzerland and my Swiss line. So then I spent the next couple of years learning how to do Swiss research because I wanted to find out, who were these people? What were they? Farmers? Were they cobblers? What did they do professionally? Why did they end up in the States? And in that process, I also had to learn how to do some technical family history things. I had to learn how to read old German records, and I had to learn even just how to find where records are on the internet. But all of that was led by this strong longing that I had to be in Switzerland, the land of my ancestors, the land of such a huge portion of my ancestry.
That's such a cool experience. You talked about this a little bit, but what do you think the benefits of learning about your ancestors are, finding their names and learning about where they come from? And why is it important, or why is it beneficial to have that experience?
I really love that question. I can tell you what science says. There are all kinds of studies, especially recently, about what happens when you start studying your family story. You have increased self-worth, emotional well-being, self-competence, identity, belonging, connection, just all of these really positive qualities that we want in our life. They grow the more you learn about your ancestry. There was a really interesting study that showed that as you think about your family history's stories, the stories of your ancestors, there's this sharp increase in your intellectual performance, and that is true regardless of if your ancestry is positive or negative.
That's really interesting.
There's this quote I love. One of the researchers, in summation of her study, I just love this quote. Her name is Martha Dreisnick, and she says, "Knowing one's family stories creates meaning that goes beyond the individual to provide a sense of self through time and in relation to family. This expanded sense of self grounds an individual and also provides a larger context for understanding and dealing with life's experiences and challenges." And she talks about how your family story, knowing your family story, contributes to this resilience that at any age of life, whether you're a teenager or a young child or a middle-aged adult, knowing your ancestry, knowing your family's stories, gives you that sense of groundedness and that you exist beyond this current moment. You're part of a network, you're part of a narrative that's existed for hundreds of years and will continue to exist for hundreds of years after you.
I mean, it's so interesting because what you're saying, you talk about resilience regardless of the history. What advice would you give to someone who does have a really hard history and is maybe struggling with the idea of going into that history or looking into it more?
To that, I would say that family history helps us practice love. Anytime you're putting yourself in another person's shoes, you're practicing love, you're practicing compassion, imagining what another person's life might be like, why they made the choices that they made, whether those are positive or negative choices. You're learning how to love better, how to be a more compassionate and empathetic person as well. And I have seen that in my own family history. I've seen other people do that with their stories as well. learning your ancestor stories, even as something as simple as you're going to just try to be open to wondering why your great-grandfather drank so much, or why there were certain traumatic dynamics in your family. Giving other people grace, even your ancestors, you're practicing how to give compassion to other people. Mm-hmm. I think that in doing so, we learn how to practice compassion towards our living relatives, as well as towards ourselves and for our own stories. I think actually a lot of the Lord of the Rings mythology from Tolkien, where there's this, you know, there's this amazing hero, Isildur, who kills all the powers of darkness. And then ultimately he is defeated by the very powers of darkness that he thought he had won. And hundreds of generations later, when his heir comes along, Aragorn, he's weighed down by the fact that his family history, that his lineage is so dark, and he's worried that that's going to be his story as well. And I think we can look at that as an example that it doesn't have to be, that our ancestors were dealing with very complex things and they made the complex choices that they did. But love is also complex and it can heal that. There's room in these relationships to see the choices that they made and still feel love and compassion towards these people.
I love that example actually from Lord of the Rings. Going back to the study you mentioned, how it helps with resilience, I think can look at whether you had really positive experiences from your family history or negative ones. Because if you have the positive experiences, like I look at my ancestors who immigrated to the United States and how hard that must have been, right? And so it's very empowering to hear their story. And on the other end, I just, before we started, found a newspaper article from a family member who, I don't know, they went to court because her husband threatened to kill her and himself and to split her head open with an axe. But like when that story, and I can laugh about it because it's not like it was a close generational thing, but you also look at how far your family has come from that. And even if you're the first in your family to break that chain of generational trauma, that shows resilience of how far you've come based on maybe where your family was from. So I can see why it can help with resilience from both sides, whether you have a traumatic family history or a really a resilient family history and an empowering one.
There's something about stories, just seeing other people inside of a story and seeing how they respond to things and why they do the things they do, that regardless of if they're the villain or the hero, it opens your heart up to being able to accept, and then to, like you're saying, to be able to see yourself in your own story and the choices you're making and how those are going to impact your generations, and just the resilience that gives you, and also the empowerment that gives you to write your own story and to set your own path in the direction that you want it to go.
Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about the importance of studying your family history, even though there is trauma. What advice would you give specifically to people who are maybe adopted or maybe don't know which line they should go through, whether it's their adopted line or their biological line? Do you have any advice or thoughts about that?
My advice would be to follow your nose. My whole journey with family history has been led purely by my own curiosity, where I have a question about something, or even something as simple as I loved being in Switzerland. I wonder if I have any Swiss ancestors. And then the doors just kind of start opening themselves and you're led through this wild path of learning about your ancestry that's very organic. So I would say that for anybody who's had any kind of stirrings or nudges that you want to start looking into your family history, start there. Start with what are the things that you're curious about, whether you're adopted or you have, you know, tons of lines that the work has already been done. Start with what are the stories you know that kind of leave questions for you or that you desire more knowledge about, and start following those. Start tracking those down. And I think you'll be shocked the doors that will open, the things you'll learn that you never could have set out to learn in the first place. Mm-hmm. I really admire people who do ancestry who are adopted, because it seems like they're in a unique position to they just have all of these stories at their fingertips, meaning they have their biological family, they also have their adopted family, and they're able to take the narratives of both sides and craft their own narrative from that, create their own set of family legends about who they are and where they came from and what matters to them mm-hmm. from these two different stories that they have.
Yeah. And any advice or feedback for people who are maybe trying to find their biological line and don't really know where to start?
From a technical standpoint, I think that Ancestry is a really good place to start. Do a DNA test, see if it connects you with any close or far relatives. I think that that's a really just a valuable resource that we have that we didn't have 15 years ago, you know.
That's actually the person who's on going to be on after you the following week. That is how she found her biological parents. So, yeah, that's a really great example.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the best place to start technically. Yeah.
So how do you personally approach family history?
All my life, I had really specific ideas of what family history meant and looked like. And it was something like being in a family history center, somebody that I don't know is trying to teach me how to find records and how to read microfiche and how to index. And it just feels boring and laborious to me. I don't know. Do you ever feel that way?
For sure. I know when we first met, I felt that way. And I was like, Carolyn, bless her heart. She's going to try to help me.
Yeah, I think a lot of us feel that way. And yet we want to do family history, but it just feels like the gap between our personal desires and this distant goal of quote unquote doing my family history is so vast and overwhelming that we don't really know where to start. The most beneficial starting point for me has been changing my paradigm from family history as this dry, hard, technical endeavor to all I'm really trying to do is find stories about my people. That's it. When I sit down to do family history, I am not looking to try to find names or dates or villages. I am primarily trying to find facts about who these people were. What was important to them? What did their lives look like? What were the struggles that they encountered? What were the joys that they encountered? One of the stories I came across actually was one of my ancestors, her name was Mary. This was way back in the 1800s. And as a 29-year-old single woman, she boarded a boat by herself, crossed the Atlantic to come to America and started her life again in America. And when I found that story, I at the time was single, had been for much of my adult life, and have crossed the Atlantic many times on my own for different work projects or just to travel. And I felt like here is this woman who she feels familiar to me. Our lives were so vastly different, but in this one thing, I feel like we would have understood each other. And recognizing that, there was this little part of me that felt seen, that felt like it had found some kind of a companion. Just in the small element of having to be single older, and all the trips and voyages and experiences you have on your own. And in Mary, in my ancestor Mary, I felt like she would have been a kindred spirit. We would have had things to talk about. Mm-hmm. As I set out on family history, so anytime I set out to quote unquote do family history or do genealogical research, I start by asking myself, what are the stories I'm trying to find? What are the questions that I'm trying to answer? And then I can just kind of follow my curiosity, follow the different breadcrumbs almost that ultimately usually end in really cool discoveries, whether that's people's birth records that have never been found before or finding the location of their home that's still standing, things of that nature.
Yeah, I love that, and it's amazing. And that was kind of my experience with Carolyn, just for people listening. I came to her and I was like, okay, pretty sure we're never going to find my great-great-grandfather's records because there was a fire and pretty sure all the records burned in Sicily and don't think we're going to find him. And I came in very doubtful. I was like, nope, this is why. Like, it was almost an excuse to not do family history. I was like, nope, pretty sure. I went to Sicily. I met distant relatives. They told me there was a fire in the church. And Carolyn on her own just found the record. It's like, no excuse. Like, she found it.
I was just so curious. Yeah. We have to find this person.
And that speaks to what you were saying about curiosity. But with that one name, I've been able to find so many of my ancestors because Carolyn knew where to look. She taught me how. And then, yeah, my curiosity spread as well. And now I have cousins doing it with me, which is really cool.
I love that. All of that technical knowledge, knowing where to look, knowing where to find the records and so on, has just come for me because I liked Switzerland and I wanted to learn about my Swiss ancestors. Yeah. That was it. So having that kernel, that spark that lights the fuse initially, will carry you so far. And then your research and the things you need to learn technically to be able to find your ancestors, so to speak, it just comes on its own because you're driven by this desire to find the answers to your questions or to hear more stories about your ancestors. One thought about your family story too is that when I think about family history as records and microfiche and microfilm, it's really difficult for me to want to engage with it. When I think about it as stories though, I immediately become interested in learning the stories. If you think about stories in general, I would argue that we consume stories probably more than anything else except for food, water, and air. Our lives are just full of stories in the conversations we have with our friends, in the media we consume, even in the songs we listen to. It's story. It's story that excites our imagination and motivates us and calms us and comforts us and teaches us morals even. And so finding those stories in your own history is magic. It is some of the most just neat experiences you will have.
I feel like what you're really saying is it's about reframing how you look at it, because yes, you technically found a birth record for one of my ancestors, but it's not about the actual record. It's about the story behind the record and where their family lived and their family and their family and their family.
Exactly. Exactly. Even if all you feel right now is, you know, I've always wanted to go to Scotland. I wonder if I have any Scottish ancestry. That is enough to get you going, to get you just kind of digging through records, digging through family search or ancestry. So, and from a technical standpoint, if you're looking to start doing family history, a few places to start are ancestry.com and familysearch.org. Both of those websites have just incredible infrastructures for you to build out your family tree. You can put in all of your information, and then you can search their records to be able to find birth records, census records, marriage records, all of the technical details. And then one of my favorite features in these websites is there are also places for you to put memories and for other people to put memories of these people, whether that's a life sketch or photos that they came across, letters. You can scan these things in and attach them to the different person's bio card. Often, I'll just go on Family Search and click through my tree until I find a story, somebody's bio, somebody's life sketch, and I'll read through their life sketch or a couple of journal entries from an ancestor. And to me, that is the most valuable kind of family history, mm-hmm. is learning who these people were and coming to love them and coming to love their story and how it connects with your own.
I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but how would you suggest finding something like journals?
It'll be different for everybody. For me, I have an aunt who has been just a fantastic story keeper. She's kept all the records, all the journals and photos. And so sometimes it's as simple as calling a grandparent and saying, do you know where these journals might be? Do you know if there were journals to begin with? Often our living ancestors, our living relatives, are a wealth of information that we don't even recognize. So I would highly recommend turning to your parents or turning to your grandparents or an aunt and uncle to see what information already exists. What box does somebody have in their attic that hasn't been gone through yet? And then offer to go through it for them. Offer to go through and scan everything for them. That can be a great help to not just you, but all of your family as well, that they now have digital access mm-hmm. to those records. Not everybody kept journals either. Not everyone, especially, you know, beyond the last 100 years had easy access to paper or writing utensils. So there aren't always records like that to be found, but seeing what already exists, what people already have at their fingertips, can do a lot to get you going.
I know one thing that I've been able to do to just learn more about my ancestors is when in marriage records, it says what they did professionally. And that's so interesting to me. I feel a sense of connection to my ancestors and learning about what they did professionally.
Absolutely. Many years ago, I came across the draft card for my grandfather from World War II. And I knew my grandfather. He passed away when I was 13 years old, so I knew him. But to see this card that was handwritten with his full name, with his height, the color of his eyes, the color of his hair. They also had funny like physical stature descriptions where they would describe if they were bulky or thin or, you know. And so just to read these physiological characteristics of my grandfather made me feel so much connection to him. And it went beyond that too, to think about him being at the draft table applying to fight in World War II. What was he thinking at the time? What was his mother thinking at the time? What were the circumstances going on in his life? Again, just got me wondering, got me asking questions, and filled me with a lot of curiosity to just start learning about my grandpa.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing everything that you've shared, Carolyn. I feel like there's just so many nuggets here, and this has been a selfish podcast interview, as I mentioned before we started recording, because sometimes the topic of quote unquote family history or learning about your ancestors doesn't sound like the most exciting thing, but I love everything you shared, especially the research about how beneficial it is. On my podcast, I define unity as seeking understanding, or my mantra, I would say, is to seek understanding, healing, connection, and love, that these are ways we can find unity. And you've shared some of these thoughts already, but how have you found unity through researching and doing family history work?
In ancient Scottish culture, society was organized into clans, and a clan was your people. It was your family. It was literally your blood relations. And these people stuck together to protect each other. The conditions they lived in were very harsh. They were in the highlands of Scotland. It wasn't an easy place or time to live. And by being in these clans, they were able to help each other survive and be a protection. I think about this a lot in terms of my own ancestry, that my ancestors, these are my people. This is my clan. These are my kin. I believe very much that our ancestors, though dead, are still very present. I believe that they have power to help us in our lives, to help us with our quotidian and enormous struggles that we go through. They can see more than we can see. And in seeking understanding, in seeking love or connection with my ancestors specifically, and also with my heritage in a larger, more global sense, I've been able to feel a lot of peace about my own path, about the ups and downs of my own life's story. I don't really know how else, I don't even know that I could do like a to B analysis showing you that, oh, I learned this fact and that led to this enlightenment in my own life. It didn't really work that way. It was more like the more I've learned about my ancestors, there's just come a very sweet peace into my life where I feel grounded. I feel like regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what may happen to me in the future or what has happened to me in the past, things are going to work together for my good. And I don't need to be afraid. I can have courage. I can move forward with love, with compassion towards other people, and with a lot of empathy for the stories that other people are going through and writing right now themselves.
It's looking outside of yourself while looking within yourself.
I love that.
I feel like there have been so many great insights that you've shared, and I really appreciate you being on. Do you want to just add, I ask everyone who's on this podcast, just what does unity mean to you? Do you have thoughts on that? What does unity mean to you?
Unity to me means a shared purpose. a common cause or a common goal. It's difficult to feel unity with somebody that you don't have some ultimate destination you're trying to get to together. And I think that those feelings of unity come when we're able to identify what is that common purpose, what is that common goal.
What do you feel like the common goal has been for you and your ancestors?
I would say faith. Faith and hope. Believing in good things, regardless of struggles or difficulties. And being able to lift others up to believe and have hope and have faith as well. I see that in so much of the lives of my ancestors. And hope to be able to give that to other people as well.
That's such a powerful message, and it goes back to that study you were talking about too, just the resilience that can come through faith and hope. You mentioned your side business. Do you have a website or a place someone can go to in case they're looking for it?
I do, yeah. The website is kindredlands.com. We're also on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us there. We just released our first in a series of guidebooks about different cultures. So say you take a DNA test and you learn that you're Scottish. What does that mean exactly? What is the history of Scotland? What did the average day in the life of a Scottish farmer look like? So we've put together a guidebook all about Scotland, and we'll continue with other regions in the world, but all about Scotland and the culture, the history, the food. We've included recipes. We've included traditional Scottish songs. So you can really learn the legends, the folklore, and as well as just what the lives of your ancestors day to day would have looked like.
That's really cool. Can't wait for you to do one on Sicily. Thank you again for being on, Carolyn, and for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Remember that it's okay to disagree. Unity comes when we can agree to disagree while still maintaining a love for one another. For more on unity, follow us on Instagram at finding.unity or on Twitter at finding_unity.